Okay, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody. New faces back again from Zoom, and we encourage everybody who is with us on Zoom. It's great to have you on Zoom, but it will be great to have you live as well. And Baruch Hashem, people are moving back into the real world, I think, not just the virtual world. Today's shiur is sponsored very kindly by our anonymous sponsor for the year, who has sponsored all the shirim for an aliyah for the neshamas of Brana Bas Bended and Zelig Ben Kalman. Grateful, as always, for the sponsorship, and it should be an aliyah for their neshamas. If I could ask you, please remind you to turn your phones off, because that's always good, to avoid any kind of musical interludes. Just looking forward for a week or two. Next week is Tanit Esther, Be'ezrat Hashem. There will be a Shia, and we will be talking about the very mysterious origins of Tanit Esther. It's not at all clear exactly how this came to be, and the specific halachic nature of the day, which is very unusual for a fast day. So we'll talk about that next week, please God. The week after that will be in the run-up to Pesach, and there will be at least three shiurim between Purim and Pesach. We're just trying to check on the last week, 2 days before Pesach. Some people dafka like to get out of the house 2 days before Pesach to avoid other responsibilities. So we'll see what we can do about that. Okay, for the last 2 weeks, we have been in the, I think, and I hope you agree, fascinating hashkafic world of arts and culture and the role that has to play in the Jewish world. Today, we get onto the much firmer ground, but no less, I think, fascinating, of halachic issues. And what I want to do with you today is discuss an area of halacha, which is very related to art and aesthetics and sculpture, etc., which is not so much talked about, which is the laws of idolatry. When do we ever really have active shilas on Avodah Zarah? Not so often. One of the most common areas that people ask on this is churches. Can I go into a church? Can I go around touring around Florence and going to see the churches and the frescoes, etc.? That's one question. What is the halachic status of Christianity? And is a church a place of idolatry or not? That's one area. Another area that comes up every now and then is, what about other religions? For example, I had a friend who was staying at a conference in Tibet, as you do, in a Tibetan monastery. Is that okay? Are you allowed to stay overnight in a Tibetan monastery? I know someone in London who was given the contract to supply the marble for the new Hindu temple that they were building at that time. Is that okay or is that not okay? Then you have the perennial question of the Avodah Zarah shekels that comes up every 25 years. Somebody, some bright spark decides that no one ever thought of this before, and aren't all the shekels made from Indian hair, and everyone suddenly has a panic and says maybe we have to burn all our shekels. I remember when this came up about 9 or 10 years ago again on its cycle, I remember driving down through Hanof watching someone burning a shekel in the Jerusalem forest. As I said at the time, what's that? No, but no, it wasn't even on the Bir Chometz or Lag BaOmer. As I said at the time, only the real hotheads burn their shekels. But that comes up every 25 years or so. And then a few other things, some of which we'll mention today. But this shaila is actually much more common, which is sculptures in my house, 3D images of people. Can I have them in my house? What are the parameters? I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, or last week, I think I repeated it. The student I had who inherited this collection of beautiful porcelain dolls that sit on the shelf there, and she was worried this was awesome. She wanted to stick a screwdriver through each of them so that it would be okay. We'll see whether she has to or not today. Right, so let's start at the very beginning, because I think this is, we have to do this in a very structured way so that we all understand it. It's a little bit complicated, but we should get through it just well. Just fine. Let's start with Avodah Zarah itself. I'm not getting in today into the prohibitions of worshipping Avodah Zarah. I don't think most people are having shilas about that on a daily basis, but clearly worshipping other gods is prohibited. Not only that, and perhaps more relevant, worshipping God through other intermediaries is prohibited, and that's something that people feel more perhaps tempted towards. That at the end of the day was the golden calf. The golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, was not a replacement for God, it was a replacement for Moshe. Because the people said, we can't connect with God directly. We need someone like Moshe or something like Moshe to get us there. That is all prohibited. Making idols is dealt with in the second commandment. Let's start with us in number one. Loisase lecha pesel. Don't make any image. V'chol tzmona, or any picture, asher b'shamayim, which is in the heavens. Pesel is a statue, tzmona is an image. Asher b'shamayim, mima'al, which is in the heavens above. Asher ba'aretz mitachat, or in the ground below. V'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz, or is in the water. Any image of anything, wherever it is, high, low, ground, sea, you're not allowed to make a pesel, any kind of idol. Another pasuk in Vayikra, number two. Al tifnu el ha'elilim. Don't turn to other gods. The Elohei Masecha lo ta'asu lachem. Don't make gods of not Masecha, as in masks, but Masecha here means molten or metal gods. Don't make for yourselves. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's another pasuk in Vayikra. And a third pasuk, later in Vayikra, number three. Lo ta'asu lachem elilim. Do not make for yourselves any gods. Ufesel umatseva lo tzakimu lachem. And don't make a pesel, a sculpture, an idol, or a matseva. A matseva is something of a chidush, because in Breishit, a matseva is a standing stone that one uses for worshipping Hashem. In Breishit, Yaakov made many matsevot. Even in Shemot, Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai made matsevot. But here, by the time you get to Vayikra, it's off the menu. You can't have a matseva anymore. And eved ve'eved maskid lo titnu ba'atzechem. And you're not allowed to have an eved maskid. That's a stone floor that you bow down onto God. That you're not allowed to do ba'atzechem in your countries, as opposed to in the temple where you could lishkach avot alev, that you're going to bow down on it, even to God. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. And as you know from Yom Kippur, when everyone gets their little tea cloths or whatever it is, or tissues or whatever, puts them on the floor. The fancy people have little mats that says "Anachnu Korim Umishtachavim" embroidered on them, etc. So that's in order to avoid any concern of this Evan Maskit prohibition that you're not allowed to bow on the floor. By the way, people sometimes make a mistake. It's the head that the thing has to be under, not just the knees. So I think people are worried about getting their trousers dirty, but actually the concern is on the head as well. So it's good to be machmir and have a nice big one on Yom Kippur as well. Fine. But we're not dealing with that today. But three psukim not to make idols. The Rambam, after the first mitzvah in the Torah, which is to believe in God, gives us mitzvah number two and mitzvah number three, and then in a minute we'll see mitzvah number four. So source four, mitzvah hashnia, says the Rambam, who shehiziranu, that God has warned us, me'asot avodah zara leheabed. We're not allowed to make any avodah zara, which is going to be worshipped. It makes no difference whether you made it personally, you're an artist, a sculptor, or whether you tell someone else to make it for you. And we'll see soon the Sefer HaChinuch is going to pick up on that and said, one second, how can it be your responsibility if you commission an idol? Surely it's their responsibility, they made it. Back to that soon. And that's what the pasuk means when it says La selecha pesel v'chol tzmuna. Umisha avad avar alav ze. Anyone who breaks this prohibition, chayav malkot. That malkus is a Torah prohibition. Clearly, it's an issa deoraita. Rotsa lama. What does that mean? Ala siyata avodah zara. Just on making the avodah zara, afilu asa loy zulato. Even if someone else made it for you, b'mitzvah so on your request, the afal pishloy avadato. And even if you never worshipped it. Even if you did tshuva, as soon as you had it made and said, I'm never going to worship this thing. Just having the thing made and putting it in your house is itself a prohibition min haTorah. Mitzvah shlishit. What's the third mitzvah? Number five. He shesiranu. This is a new mitzvah. The Torah is telling us, ma'asod avodah zara afilu lezulateinu. We're not allowed to make a avodah zara for someone else. Mitzvah number two was having a avodah zara made for me, even if I don't worship it. This is mitzvah number three for someone else, kidei sheyavod ota, so that that person will worship it. Va'afilu haya mi shetzva yetzva lasot ha'goy. Even if it's a non-Jew that says to you, please make me an idol, I have a mitzvah d'oraisa not to make an idol that a non-Jew will be worshipping. Now, of course, in addition to this, there'll be the mitzvah of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver lo yisitim michshol is I'm not allowed to cause anybody, Jew or non-Jew, to do something they're not allowed to do. But additionally to that, there is a mitzvah not to make the idol for them. V'hu amru Yisrael, and that's the posuk Elohei Masecha lo tasu lachem. V'lashon Sifra, the lashon of the Sifra, he quotes the halachic medrash Elohei Masecha lo tasu afilu la'achirim, even for others. V'sham ne'emar, and it says there also ha'ose avodah zorah la'atzmo, if someone makes avodah zorah for themselves, ove mishum shnei lavim. So if you make your own avodah zorah, you're doing two things wrong. You're making an avodah zorah, and you're having an avodah zorah in your house. Rotzaloma shehu avar al asosa biyado. You're making it with your hands, which is one prohibition. Va'afila asazul asoy kama, even if you made it for someone else, as we just explained. Va'avar gam kein shekana avodah zorah v'shava etzlo. And there's also a prohibition, you had it in your own house. Afila asaloyzul asoy, even if it was made by someone else, etc., etc. So, you know, two mitzvahs in the Torah. You can't make avodah zarah for yourself, even if someone else makes it for you. You can't make avodah zarah for someone else. All of these mitzvahs all come together. 6 and 7, I brought you the Ramban. The Ramban on the 613 mitzvahs technically disagrees with the Rambam as to which posuk does which for which mitzvah. And says possibly you may be breaking 3 Torah mitzvahs. He adds another one, lo yelecha, but I'm not getting into the mechanics of that now. That's perhaps a little bit too complex than what we need. But put it this way, it's very clear that if you make or commission avodah zarah for yourself or for others, you're breaking lots of Torah mitzvahs. Fine. The Chinuch raises a couple of questions. First of all, he makes a point which I think we have to think about for a second, which is a much broader point in halacha. Number 8, says the Sefer HaChinuch. Normally the Sefer HaChinuch follows the Rambam's approach in the mitzvahs, and here also, number 8, Shelo lasot pesa. Shelo naset slamim sheya'avdu. We're not allowed to make slamim at Salem, any kind of image, sculpture, which was going to be worshipped. Va'afilu lo avdam, even if we didn't serve it, ha'oise osam, even if the person who made it didn't worship it. The asiya levad asura, even making the idol is prohibited, and here he gives two important words, laharchik hamishchol, laharchik hamishchol, in order to distance yourself from a stumbling block. Now that's very interesting, just to pause on that. This is a Torah mitzvah. The Chinuch is saying here, what he says in a few other places, that sometimes the Torah itself makes a fence around another Torah mitzvah. Now, we're familiar with the idea of the rabbis, as a siag l'Torah, it's in Pirkei Avos, make a fence around the mitzvah, classically, muksa, you're not allowed to even move a pen on Shabbos. One of the reasons is, in case you write with it, writing with a pen is doraisa, moving the pen is darabon, and that's a siag, it's a fence around the Torah. But the rabbis saw that that structure in the Torah itself. There are actually many situations in which the Torah has a central mitzvah, which it really doesn't want you to do, which is the worst one, and then makes another mitzvah around that, which is still a writer, still a Torah mitzvah, but it's a siag, it's a fence for the other one. For example, here, don't make an idol, because if you make an idol, you're much more likely to worship an idol. But there are many others. Pesach, don't eat chametz on Pesach. That's a chi of kares. Says the Torah, don't even have chametz in your house, because if you have it in your house, you might come to eat it. That having it in your house is also a Torah prohibition. But it's a siag, it's a fence of the Torah around itself. Another example. Do not have a sexual relationship with these people. They are arayot. They are the most prohibited relationships. And you know something? Shmirat negiyah. Don't even lo sikravu. Don't even come close physically in a way which is sexual in touching. Because people who do that are more likely to come to have a full relationship. And that also is a Torah prohibition. Another example.
What happens if somebody's selling porcelain figures?
We'll get to selling and buying. Jews always have questions on selling things, right? Meaning, and you're right. Everybody knows that the little shops outside the Vatican where you buy your crucifixes are all owned by Italian Jews. For generations, they've been selling all that stuff. Okay? Yeah, it's a known thing. It's a known thing. So I'll get onto that soon. Because tachlis, let's do business. Another example of a gedem in a Torah. Don't drink wine. You know something? Don't even eat grapes. That's even a Torah prohibition itself. Many more. Sometimes it's not always clear which is the central one and which is the peripheral one. For example, don't bear a grudge and don't take revenge. Which is the getter around which? Some Mephoroshim say the worst thing is taking revenge. Don't even bear a grudge in case it leads you to take revenge. But others say no. The worst thing is the long-term grudge. Don't start taking revenge on people, because that will cause you to perpetuate the idea that you don't like them. It'll make the grudge last longer. What about basar v'chalav? Don't cook meat and milk together, and don't eat meat and milk together. And of course, in the Torah, it just says cook. But which is the worst avera? Is it don't cook so that you won't come to eat it? Or don't eat it because if you eat it, you'll come to cook it. And cooking it is even what... I'm not getting into all that now, but this idea of a gedim in a Torah is quite a common one. And if you just go back into number 8, that was a general point. Says the Chinuch, he asked another question. I am very surprised at the Rambam. There's no difference between you making it and you commissioning it? Of course there is. Sheharim mitzvah. Meshaleach who? It's a mitzvah through a shliach. V'kaimalan, and don't we paskin, meshaleach patur. Ein shliach ledvar avera. That's what we usually hold, the usually rule. Meaning, if I commission a hitman to, God forbid, to murder somebody, he's the murderer. I'm not the murderer. I did something terrible. I caused the murder to happen, but I'm not a murderer. The hitman is the guy. Ein shliach ledvar avera. He can't say, I was just doing what the guy asked me to do. He can't get off like that. So too, the guy who made the idol, why am I liable if I commissioned him to make the idol? He made the idol. So some of the Mephoshim say, the problem is not just making the idol, it's even placing it in your house. Having an idol made and then putting it in my house is itself a problem. Even if you didn't make it. I heard of a Shiloh that a young man in Eishah Torah had many years ago. He inherited from his grandparents a Native American totem pole. The real thing. Not what you buy in the shops in Arizona, like a real totem. A real thing from a Native American tribe that his grandparents had picked up on their travels around the world. And is he allowed to have a real totem pole in the house? Yes or no? People had been dancing around this, doing what they do. So this is why you have to get into the mechanics of what's really going on when people do these ceremonies. Are they really worshipping it? Are they just using it as a connection? And this is the problem with the shaitals, the Indian shaitals, of course. Because when the last thing blew up, they sent somebody to India, and he asked one of these young women who was going for a hair cutting in the temple. He said, why are you doing this? She said, it's a sacrifice. So, there you are, shaitals off. Okay. Of course, what she meant, so it turned out later, is not that it's an Avodah Zorah sacrifice, but it's a Mesirat Nefesh sacrifice. I'm giving up something of myself in order to, you know, to grow and connect with God more. Oh, well, maybe that's different. And also depends on who you ask. If you go to a Hindu house and you see the little things on the mantelpiece, what are they? Do people worship them? Or do people just use them as a means to connect mentally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not always so straightforward. It might depend on who you ask. Do you ask the theologians, in which case they'll say, no, it's not that people worship them, it's the idea. Or do you ask the people in the street? They may think they do worship them. Lahavdil, Elif Havdolas. You ask someone why the mezuzah's on the door. Oh, the mezuzah protects the house. Oh, that sounds a bit sketchy. Okay? You ask a rav, what's the mezuzah? You ask the rambam, why is the mezuzah on the door? No, the mezuzah doesn't protect the house. Your mitzvah of putting up the mezuzah and thinking about what's written in the mezuzah connects you to God, which gets you more hashgacha pratis, and that's what protects your house, not the mezuzah. Okay, so it really depends on who you ask. Buddha, what is Buddha? Is Buddha Avodah Zarah? Or is Buddha just a figure of a guy and people use that figure to connect with a larger force, source, whatever? So you really need to know your Avodah Zarah properly. That's why the Sanhedrin had to know Avodah Zarah. You have to know it, otherwise you can't pass in the shilas properly, and that's the problem today. Anyway, yes.
Do I understand correctly? It's not only statues in the figure, like a figure, like a doll, or something.
Right.
It also can be an abstract.
Yes, it could be a picture. Yes, absolutely. I have a friend in London who bought 3 pictures of Norse gods. You know, Woden, Thor, and whoever else, all swirling around in Nordic excitement. And he asked the Shiloh to Dan Ehrentroy, are these Avodah Zarah? And he said, no, they're paintings. No one ever worshipped them. They were paintings done by someone who imagined, you know, how these things would work. So it's not so straightforward how that works. Anyway, I want to move into the topic for today, really, which is not Avodah Zarah itself, which is just aesthetic statues. I don't want a statue for Avodah Zarah. I just like a statue of Venus de Milo in my house because it reminds me of all the great places I traveled. I like to have statues in my... Plenty of people have statues in the house, no? Maybe not like King David, but they have them in the house. Look at number 9. There's another pasuk we haven't looked at yet. Lo sasun iti Elohei kesev Elohei zahav lo tasu lachem. Don't make with me any statues of gods of gold, gods of silver, gods of gold. Don't make for yourselves. And the Ibn Ezra points out that this is more about intermediaries. He also links this to Avodah Zorah. But the Rambam takes this to a different place. He said this dafka, this mitzvah, is not about Avodah Zorah. It's about statues for aesthetics. Number 11. A mitzvah revius. We're really making good progress in the Rambam. We've done mitzvah number 2, mitzvah number 3, now mitzvah number 4. Mitzvah revius. He sheziranu ma'asoy tzurus minei ba'lechaim. We're not allowed to make any kind of live statues of live animals. Min ha'etzim, or trees. Va'avanim, or stones. Va'hamatchos, or metal. Anything from of these things. Zvilatam, or anything of that nature. Sorry, from wood, I should say. From stone, from metal. We can't make any of these idols. They're not idols, they're statues. Va'af al pi shelo yasu lehe'abed. Even though they're not being made for worship. V'zohar chaka, and here's another fence of the. This is like a double fence. This the Torah is saying, don't make any statues for aesthetics. In case you make statues for idols, in case you come to do avodah zara. V'zohar chaka me'asos hatsuras bichlal kedei shelo yachshavu behem mashehashva yachshavu haschilim. So the people who are foolish think that these things could have powers. You can't have any of them in your house. Sheheimov de Avodah Zarah, these people are doing Avodah Zarah. Sheachshavu kilat suras kochos, they think that these statues could have power. Fuhu amru yisaleh lo sasuni ti elohei kesev elohei zahav. Shelo tamar, don't turn around and say, harini oisel enoi, I'm only making this for decoration. Chas v'sholem, I'm not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Kederech sheacherim oisim, like everybody else has beautiful things in the house. V'medinois in other countries, don't think that tamad loma lo tasu lachem. Don't make them for yourself. Don't have statues. Don't have even artistic statues in the house. That's another Torah prohibition. Interesting. Yes?
I got a present from one of my colleagues from Indonesia, from Bali. And it was a nice piece of wood with my name in sculpture. And apparently with idols from Indonesians.
Little Indonesian idols.
It's very common.
Right. I'm not your. Oh, so you asked the Shiloh, what did he say?
As long as you're not worshipping them.
Okay, good.
I was not happy with it, so
you threw it in the bin anyway. Okay. Meaning, even if the answer to the Shiloh is it's okay, it doesn't mean you have to keep it. Avodah Zarah Shilohs is so interesting. I mean, this is not Avodah Zarah, but one of my neighbors in Haranov many years ago, he worked a lot in China. And there was nothing for him to eat at meetings. You know, in London, at least you could get something which was a piece of lettuce, a piece of tomato, whatever it is. In Indonesia, they were literally serving them cats and dogs, and in China, I should say, cats and dogs and things like that. He had nothing to eat. So they looked at him. He was never, you know, fasting, passing away, passing out. And they said, can we at least get you some fruit? So he says, oh, fruit will be lovely, thank you. So they clicked their fingers. A woman came in with a big bowl of fruit, walked to the little idol Getchke in the corner, went like this with the fruit to the idol like this, and brought the fruit and popped it on the table. What's it going to do? Little Avodah Zorah bananas? What do we got here? So those things can happen as well. But here, we're moving away from Avodah Zorah. We're worrying about statues. How do I know, and this is kind of your question, if the statue is an idolatrous statue or just a regular one? Now, I'm not allowed to make statues even for art, but maybe I can keep them. Maybe I can have them as a gift. It didn't say you can't have them in the house. We'll see whether that's allowed in a minute. How do I know what's an idolatrous and what's not an idolatrous statue? So turn to page 3, source number 12. Let's look at this Mishnah. Hamotze kelim, you find vessels, utensils in the street. Va'alehem tsuras chama v'tsuras levama, and they have images of the moon, images of the sun on them. Tsuras drakon, or the images of a drakon. What's a drakon? It's a dragon. So the Avodah Zorah, the Abatanura, sorry, not Avodah Zorah, the Abatanura says, getting it from the later in the Gemara, Tsurus Nachash, it's the form of a snake, Sheyesh lo tzitzin v'kash kaskasin, k'kaskasi adag, and it has little scales coming out of it, little projections coming out. Imagine like a dinosaur-looking thing with a collar with sharp things coming out of his neck. A dragon. You can't have any dragon images. If you find those things, okay, Yolichem leYam HaMelech, straight to the Dead Sea. Why do I take them to the Dead Sea? Throw them in the sea. The Dead Sea is a place that no one's ever going to find them. They're going to disintegrate. They're going to corrode. That's the place. As the Dead Sea gets lower and lower, it could be we'll find all sorts of interesting things. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean Dafka the Yama Melech. It might mean anywhere they're going to be completely destroyed. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omei says no. Sha'ala mechubadim asurim. Only if they're honorable uses. But if it's like pots and pans and food things and like that people don't normally worship, that's probably fine, which is interesting. So we'll come back to that sack soon, which is what about mannequins, which are basically dolls that kids schlep around the house and leave under the sofa and things. Are we worried about those or only things that people look up to, if you like? That's going to be this piece of Mishnah here, which is going to come in later. So that sack we're going to follow, only things which are mechubad, which not things which are mufuzeh. So look at number 13. So the Gemara here says a little slightly complicated thing. And it says sometimes you're not allowed to make them. And sometimes you're not even allowed to keep them in the house. And we're going to have to try and identify over the next 15 minutes or so when that is the case. But look at this Gemara. The Gemara says here, number 13. On the Gemara on that Mishnah. Vitani, it's taught. Kol ha-mazalot mutarim. All the mazalot. The mazalot, the constellations. They're not necessarily a problem. Chutz mimazel chama v'levana. The sun and the moon are more of a problem. Okay? Kol v'kol ha-partsufim mutarim, and all partsuf. Now, what's a partsuf? Modern Hebrew, partsuf is a face. But does this mean a face? Does this mean a whole sculpture? Mutarim, they're all fine. Chutz mi-partsuf adam, apart from a human face. Okay? The kolat surot, here it clearly means sculpted images, they're all fine, mutsurot. Chutz mitsurat drakon. Here we are again with the dragons. Apart from the drakon. Okay, fine. So some things are okay, some things are less acceptable. Amar Abaya says, Resha v'sefer b'moitzi, the first and the last part of that statement we just had in the Brisa are people who find things. Umitziata, and the middle case is even ba'ose, even if you're making things. So let's just plug that back in, what Abaya said, back into the Brisa. So go back to the first line. So Tani, kala mazalot mutarim. So all mazalot are okay. Chutz mimazal chama v'leman, apart from the sun and the moon. So Abaya said, that's talking about keeping them. You're allowed to keep these things. But you're not allowed to keep even the sun and the moon. Okay, we'll see the sun and the moon are more machme. Kala partsufi mutaras, you're mutarin, you're allowed to make partsufin apart from the human face. That apparently applies to even making them. You're even allowed to make a sculpture of a horse. We'll see a horse, a dog, an animal, etc., a tree. For kala tsuras mutaras, all the tsuras are allowed apart from the dragon. Again, that's talking about allowed to keep, but not allowed to make. We'll have to plug all this together and see what it really means. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch makes a lot of Seder here, brings it all together, but these are the Gemaras that deal with it. What are the kind of things that the Gemara is worried about? So there are three or four Brises I brought you in 14 through 17 that all come off the same idea, Lo Ta'asun Iti. And again, we're talking here about regular sculptures, not for Avodah Zarah, just to have for art in your house. So let's just go through these, and then we'll see what the Halacha L'Maisa is when we get there in a few minutes. Number 14, Tatanya. The Brisa says, you know, these are all of Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Gimel. Lo ta'asun iti, don't make with me. Lo ta'asun kedmut shamashai b'hamashamshin lefanai b'maron. Don't make the images of the things that serve me in the celestial spheres. Yes? We'll get to Marasayin, and it's not technically Marasayin, it's Chashad, we'll get there in a minute. Don't make anything of my servants, such as Kugon, Ofanim, Seraphim, Chayas HaKodesh, Malchei HaShores. Okay, so here's the first list of things that are off the menu. All the heavenly host. Now, as you know, what are all these things? The Ofanim and the Seraphim. These are all different kinds of angels. So the Rambam in Mishneh Torah gives you the breakdown of all the different levels of angels. These words are often a reference to the chariot. Yeah, the Yecheskel sees this vision of the chariot, and some of the angels are Ofanim, are the wheels, and some of them are the Chayos, the animals that are pulling the chariot. These are all Kabbalistic as well, and the idea of Arba Nichnasu LaParadeis, those rabbis who went into the paradise and saw these things. So you can't make those things. Okay, that's something you can't. Even not for Avodah Zarah. Even because you like to have statues of the Ofanim, the Seraphim, and the Chayos HaKodesh in your house. Can't do that. 15. Tanya, Loi Tasuniti. Again, the same kind of idea. Don't make things which are in the heavenly host. Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Las Ratola Elad Bnus Dalet Panim Bahadi Hadadi. The four faces. Remember the Yomicheskel's chariot? What are the four faces? The eagle and the lion and the bull and the human being, the human that you can't make together. Says the Gemara, Elema Atzel, based on what you just said, Partsuf Adam Lechode Tishtri. So maybe a human face is okay. Just don't make all the four faces together. No. Al Alama Tanya, therefore, why would it say, Kola Partsufa is Mutarim Chutzmi Partsuf Adam? It must be that even a human face on its own is even prohibited. Okay? Fine. We're managing to put together the idea of what I'm not allowed to make. 16. Va'atanya lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kidmut shemashai ha'misham shem lifnei b'fanai b'marom, kagayim, chama, levana, kochavim, umuzalot. Here's another list. Can't have the sun, can't have the moon, can't have the stars, and you can't have the constellations. And finally, number 17, Lot Asuniti, says the Gemara, Lot Asun Kudmush Mashai Shemasham Shem Lefanai, the same idea, don't have images of those things that serve me. Amar Abaya, Abaya comes in and says, Lo Asra Tola Ela Shemashim She'ev Shalasos in Kemoisam. Things that you're able to make easily. I don't know what to make for the Chayas HaKodesh, but I do know how to make this, and this is what's prohibited. Kedatanya Lo Yase Adam Bayit Tavnit Heichal. You can't make your house the same dimensions as the Heichal of the Mikdash. I want a house that looks like the Beis HaMikdash. No. Achsadra, you can't have a front hall, Tavnit Ulam, the same dimensions as the Ulam, as the hall going into the Mikdash. Chatser Tavnit Azara, I want to have a yard that looks like the Azara, with a Mizbeach in the middle. No. Shulchan Tavnit Shulchan, I want my table to look like the Shulchan. No. Menorah Tavnit Menorah, I can't even have a menorah, which is the same shape as the original menorah. Now that's interesting. I can make it with five prongs, five arms. Shel vav, shel ches, which is a chanakia. Shel zayin lo yaseh. But five, seven I can't make. Afilu shel shar mini matros, even of any kind of metal. And Rashi comes here and says, this is only if it's the exact dimensions. I can have models. I can have scale models of the Mikdash. I can have little scale menorahs. But I can't have a menorah which is made in the same dimensions as the menorah, or a shulchan, or a mizbech, or anything like that. Yes. Sorry, yes.
Why are there images in the Mishkan?
Okay, I'm not getting into that now. It's like this question of the Kruvim that we had last week. We kind of addressed that. That in the Mishkan itself is the place that you are least likely to have the problem of why you're doing it. Because you're going there, Dafka, to connect with Hashem. But we kind of talked about that last week. I don't want to get into that. Now we have a long way to go. Yes. We'll get to that in a minute. They're usually not 3D images. They're not usually models. I've not yet been to a shul where they have actual models of lions and tigers and things like that. Not yet seen that.
Okay.
Oh, really? Lions on top of that? We'll get to that soon. We'll get to that. Okay, so what have I got so far? What can I not have in the house, so it seems? Images or sculptures, I should say, of people, the Chayas HaKodesh, the angels, the Mikdash, the sun, the moon, the stars, etc. What happens if it's just that I didn't make them, but they're just in my house? All of these mitzvahs were lo ta'asun, don't make these things. So can I just have them in the house? I didn't make it. I just bought it. Someone gave it to me as a gift. And this is where your question of Maris Ayin comes up. And technically, it's not Maris Ayin here. Look here in number 18. The Tosfos, just a quick one-liner, Tosfos says, Asur lahashchoto. You're not allowed to have it even in your house, just to keep it. Never mind, make it. Shema yichashduhu. Maybe people will have chashad, will suspect you, she'asa, that you made it, va'ava al lo ta'asun, and that you broke the mitzvah lo ta'asun. Meaning, don't even have them in the house in case people think you made it. And again, we're not necessarily talking about Avodah Zorah here. But you're not allowed to make these sculptures even for art. So if I have it in the house, maybe someone will think I made it. Now, we'll see. Do people still think that today? If I have a sculpture in the house, do people think that I made it? We'll see. We'll get to that heter soon. By the way, Chashad, you mentioned, David, before. What about Maris Ayin? Technically, and this, Rav Moshe Feinstein makes a big point of emphasizing this, Chashad and Maris Ayin are two different things. And people confuse them. Chashad is, If I'm doing something which is technically okay, but people will see it and will say, oh, I know what they're doing. They're doing an Aveira. And they'll suspect that I'm doing something wrong. I'm sitting in McDonald's, having a Diet Coke, talking to a friend. People are going to look through the window and say, oh, that's it. I always thought he was a bit sketchy. He's eating McDonald's. That's chashad. You're doing something which is okay, but people think you're doing an Aveira. The classic example of the Gemara is, I have a yard with two entrances. One of them has a menorah, but on the other one I didn't put a menorah because I already have one over there, a Chanukiah. So people will come past. No, a Chanukiah. Chanukiah on Chanukah. People, a mezuzah for sure I have to put. A Chanukiah, I only need one main entrance. But the back entrance, people will say, ah, you see, he doesn't even bother with a Chanukiah. People will suspect you. Of course, they're not allowed to suspect you, but they do anyway. What's Maris Ayin? Maris Ayin's not that. Maris Ayin's almost the opposite. Maris Ayin is people see you doing something which is technically okay, but looks like it's something which is actually prohibited, and they mistakenly assume that it's permitted because they would never suspect you of doing something wrong. Meaning, they see me eating, drinking almond milk after a meat meal. So they think, oh, I didn't know you were allowed to drink real milk after a meal. If the rabbi drinks it, it must be okay. And therefore they go and do it. So it's the opposite. They would never suspect you of doing an Aveira, and that's why they made a mistake. Whereas Chashad is they think you're doing an Aveira. So either way, you can't win, basically. Either people will think you're a tzaddik or a rasha, but you're giving them the wrong impression. So that's, this one is chashad. Okay, before we get into the Shulchan Aruch, let's just have a look at Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel is an interesting case. Number 19, Mishnah. Demus tsurois levanois hayu lo le Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel had all sorts of images of moons and suns and stars. Betavla ubekoisel, on a kind of, on the wall. He had them all drawn up on the wall, but Aliyasa in his attic, in there in the Sanhedrin, Shebehem Mare Esahidiotis, the people who came in to give testimony of the new moon, he would show them to them and say, the Oman say, Hakazereita, did it look like this? Or did it look like that? He had all these models of the sun and the moon and the stars and showing people the relative distances between them in order to do what he needed to do to check whether the Eidim were correct. How was he allowed to do this? This is exactly what the Gemara in Avodah says you're not allowed to have. Of course they were not for Avodah Zarah, but they're images of the moon and the sun. You can't do this. So the Gemara asks this question, number 20. We saw this before. What about Rabban Gamliel? Shiny Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel is different. Gives a few reasons why. First of all, the Acherim Asula. He didn't make them, someone else made them for him. Okay, we'll see, but why is there no chashad? Why are they not going to suspect him that he made them? And by the way, there's an interesting question. Are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that you're not allowed to do? Now, on Shabbos and Yontif, we know that you can't. Amira la'akum is a rabbinic prohibition that I can't ask a non-Jew to turn the lights on Shabbos or Yontif. Does this apply in other areas? Like this. Can I ask a non-Jew to buy a sculpture that I'm not allowed to make and have in the house? Or not? And I brought you in the Meiri number 21, which I'm not going to go through today because I haven't got the time. A whole discussion. He brings different perspectives. Does Amira la'akum apply only for Shabbos and Yontif, but not for other things? Or does it even apply for other things as well? There's a whole debate about that. But let's stay in number 20 for now. So Rabban Gamliel is different. Other people made them for him. For some reason, that's okay. It was for a mitzvah, or he didn't ask them, whatever. But Rav Yehuda had a case, he had a signet ring, which had a model on the front that he used for a signet ring. And other people made it for him. And Shmuel, when he saw this, he said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Shinana is a praiseworthy thing. He meant sharp one, meaning you should know better than this. Sami Einedadain, block out its eye, poke out its eye. You're not allowed to have an image like that. Now, so why is Rabban Gamliel allowed and he wasn't? No. Hasn b'chayt meboilet u'mishum chashada. That was because of chashad. People would have suspected him of having the wrong kind of thing in the house. There's chashad. He didn't actually do it. He doesn't own it. So, u'mi chashin and the chashada. Are we worried about chashad? V'habay knishta the shaf v'yativ. That's a place in Narada. There was a Bet Knesset in Bavel. Da'oik mi be'an data. They had a statue. There you are. They had a statue in the Bet Knesset. And the Choshev Amoraim went there to daven. They weren't worried about Chashad. No, Loi Chayshid L'Chashada, they weren't worried about Chashad. It says, Rabim Shani. And we'll see, these are all Heterim which are going to come up. Maybe it's different in public. If I have a statue in my house, there's a problem of Chashad. Oh, maybe Manning made a statue. But if it's in the shul, Or if it's in a public building, no one's going to assume that the whole community is doing an Aveira. They'll assume that I did an Aveira, but not that everyone did an Aveira. So maybe that's different. Rabbi Gamliel Yochid Hava. Rabbi Gamliel wasn't the public, he was an individual. No. Kevin the Nasi, he was the Nasi. Shichi Rabbi Gabay was a public office. It was fine. It had no problem. The Eboy Seima, or maybe the Prakim Hava, it came in parts. And he put it together when he needed people to see it, but he put it apart and packed it away, took it apart and packed it away when no one was there, and therefore it was clearly something which was only for that purpose. The Eboy Seima, or maybe Lehit Lamed Shani. Maybe it's different when you're teaching people. We'll see that heter coming up in a minute. Maybe that's okay. And the Gemara gives different heterim. So here we've seen the basic blocks of what is prohibited and why it might be permitted. Rabbi Gamliel seems to be an interesting case that he had these things. Maybe it was okay because it was public. Maybe it was okay because he was doing it for educational reasons, for a mitzvah, etc. Now we can put all that together and see the halacha and what the heterim are. And this actually is much more straightforward now because the halacha is paskened in a very clear way. So have a look. Let's start with number 23. Go to page 5. Let's look straight into the Shulchan Aruch and see what he says. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Asa letzayed surot. You're not allowed to sculpt images, Sheba Madur Shechina, which are there in the heavenly host. Kegoin, Dalet Panim Behadi Hadari, the four faces together. The bull, the eagle, etc. V'chein surus serafim v'ofanim u'malchei hasharis, like we saw, so too the angels. You can't have sculptures of angels in the house. V'chein surus adam levado, even a sculpture of a person, not in the house. Kol elu osa la'asot, afilu hem lenoi. And all these things are prohibited to do, even if it's just for art. And that's a Torah prohibition. Ve'im ovet kachavim asamlo, if a non-Jew made them for you, asul hashotam, you're not allowed to have them in the house. Why? Chashad. That's the rabbinic level. So that's very straightforward. On a Torah level, you're not allowed to make any of these things he just listed. And on a rabbinic level, you're not even allowed to own them. Says the Ramah, Mihu imaitse otam, if you were to find them, mutarim, they are allowed, we'll see what, allowed to sell. You still can't keep them, but you're allowed to sell them. Mutarim bilvad, apart from the chama levana, the sun and the moon, shederecha oved kachavim la'avan, because you have to suspect that maybe avodah zara, and we'll see if that's true today. Or sheyech hochacha she'asu la'avdam, or there's anything else that indicates that you made them, people made them to worship. What about little saints? What about Jesus and Mary? You know, and all that kind of stuff. Are you allowed to have them? It's fine. No, people use them for avodah zara. You can't have this. She'as also bekalat slamim. We'll see in a minute the examples he gives. But here's the big heter. B'mad dvarim amorim. When does all this prohibition apply? Bebolatet. 3D. Sculptures. Aval b'shokat. If they're just engraved. Ka'oisim she'orgim bebeged. Or shemitzarim bekozel b'samanim. Or they're embroidered. Or they're painted on a wall, a tableau on a wall. Mutar la'asotam, you can do all of these things. None of these things are prohibited. So you can paint people, you can paint malachim, you can paint all of these things. For tzuras chama or levana, with one exception, the moon and the sun and the moon, the kochlim and the stars, asur bein boletet bein shokat. The sun and the moon you're not allowed to even draw. We'll get to that soon. There's even a shaila, are you allowed to take a photograph of the sunset? Interesting shaila. It's a real shaila. We'll see. But in everything else, 3D is a problem, 2D is not a problem. But if they're there for educational purposes, lahavin laharot, to teach, to understand, kula mutarot, the sun and the moon things are all fine, afilu boletet, even if they're 3D, that's the heter of Rabbi Gamliel. He was there to teach people, and the Ramah adds in, v'yesh matirim b'shel rabim, maybe the other heter, if it's in a public area, it's okay. The leka chashada, there's no problem of chashad. So the basic halacha is that 2D, fine, except the sun and the moon, 3D, not fine. Okay? The Ben Ish Chai even raises the question, if you're painting with thick paint, I'm not a good enough artist to know the name for applying thick layers of paint on a canvas, but even thick paint, he says, is a shaila, because the whole point is it has to be 2D, not 3D. But I'm not sure exactly where you draw the line between those things. And we'll come on to photography in a minute. Now, comes along the Ramah and says in number 24, Bizman Azeh, and this is your question about selling and buying. Bizman Azeh, she'ein agoyim ovdin letzuros halalu. These days, nobody really worships statues. Not even in Poland. They didn't really worship statues. Mutarim bahana im moitzem, you're allowed to sell them and buy them. You're allowed to get benefit from them. Aval ein lahashosem, but you can't have them in the house. You still can't have them in the house. V'yesh machmirim b'kolat suras aniskaros, but the people who are machmir not even to sell them. Afal gav the adin and the loy palchem, even people, you know, people that serve them as idols. But he says, he brings the first opinion is you're allowed to get benefit from them. You're allowed to buy them and sell them. And therefore, what do we have now? We have basically a prohibition on making them, a prohibition on having them in the house for art, but you're allowed to deal in them. You're allowed to be an art dealer. Leave aside crucifixes for now. It doesn't matter what they're made from, by the way. What about waxworks? Are you allowed to go, the Shiloh was asked, are you allowed to go to the waxwork museum? So if it's in London or New York, it's fine, because they were all made by non-Jews. They don't have any prohibition making these things. But if it's in Israel, I don't know if there is still a waxwork museum in Israel. It's probably not as good as Madame Tussauds, but you never know. Then there's a shaila. Are you allowed to go? Is it a chilul Hashem? All these things were done in a way which may be prohibited. They're all 3D, etc. Anyway, that's discussed by the poskim. They discuss origami. All of these things, yes.
Can you sell some Christopher?
St. Christopher's coming up. You always anticipate the next source right now. Okay, number 25. He's going to talk about the saints. When the saints come marching into your house. Let's have a look. Number 25. So what are the heterim? Okay, so now we know what the isurim are. You're not allowed to have sculptures in your house of people, etc. What are the heterim? So I brought you five basic heterim. They are, number one, the heter of the Chochmas Adam, and this is what you alluded to here. Number 25, and this is the heter for my student to have these china porcelain dolls and not stick a screwdriver through them if she doesn't really want to. Really doesn't want to. Number 25. Kashem she'asala asos and kach asalama. Who's the Chochmas Adam? The Chochmas Adam is the Chai Adam, Rav Avram Danziger, who lived in the late 17, early 1800s, I think late 1700s in Vilna. He says, Kashem she'asala asos and kach asalama la nochri la asosam. You can't make them for art. You can't ask a non-Jew to make them. Damir la'akum shvus. He paskens on the side that you can't ask a non-Jew, even outside the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can't ask a non-Jew b'chol mitzvahs in any mitzvah to do something you can't do. Va'afiru la'hashoson. Even as the Ramah said, you're not allowed to leave them in the house. Asa mishum chashad, because people might assume that you made them, you're using them for inappropriate purposes. V'nira li, but I'm going to come up with a heter, he says. I think the Tzuras Adam Bizman Hazeh Mutar LaHashos. The Tzuras Adam, these days, you're allowed to have in the house. Here's your art heter. Why? The Kaven, the Eino Elam is Shum Chashad, because the only problem was the Rabbanon, right? It was a rabbinic problem. People are going, this is not real Avodah Zarah. This is art. People are worried that you made it in a prohibited way. Since it's a Rabbanon problem, the Yadua, and it's well known, the Bizman Hazeh, Ain Ovdim Litzuras Adam. Nobody anymore worships these things as Avodah Zarah, at least in Europe or America. And those that they do worship, they make in a special way. V'chein mitalmidav, his talmidim, the saints, the disciples. Hanevadim, they do worship these things. The Catholics, you see, the little Catholic things in the corners. I remember when I went to Pompeii. Many years ago, so you see in the Roman times they had in the corners of the streets the little Avodah Zorahs that they used to have back in those days. They used to walk past them, bow to them, etc. You walk around the streets of Italy and they're still there, except now they're Catholic, and they used to be Roman Avodah Zorah, and now they're Catholic. Little corner pieces of Mary and Joseph and who knows what. So it says they're clearly, you know what they are. Yesh b'kol echad mehem siman. Each of them has their own specific style. Ve'elu vadai asur la'ashetam. So nothing in the house. Now, St. Christopher around your neck, what is that? It's like a picture of St. Christopher? The patron saint of travelers, right? St. Christopher? No? You couldn't sit on the Sanhedrin. You don't know your Avodah Zarah well enough, clearly. Okay? So whatever. I'm not sure about that, but probably not. Aval shad suras adam, but any other kind of sculpture, mikol shekein, all the more so, im sima einav, if you do want to stick something in the eye, you know, good for you. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Mutter, it's mutter. The ein bo mishum chashad. There is no concern of chashad. So that's the first heter. You're allowed to have sculptures of people in the house because no one worships them anymore. The issur was the Rabbanon. It's for art, not the Avodah Zarah. and there's no concern these days because people don't worship in the way they used to. That's Heta number one. Heta number two, says the Shulchan Aruch, number 26. Yesh misha amesh shalai asr b'tzuras adam v'drakon ela dafke b'tzuras shalema. You have to have a tzuras shalema, that's what's asr. B'chol ebireha, with all of its limbs. Aval tzuras rosh, but you just want to have a head, a bust of a head, or goof, or you just want to have a body below rosh with no head, whatever you're into as art, okay? Ein bo mishum issa, that's not a problem. Loi ba matzai, not if you find them, the loi ba issa, or if you make them. That's the minag. And the shach brings that down. It says many people rely on that. As long as it's missing one limb, maybe even a finger, chop a finger off. People on the face, they chop the nose off. They chop something off. Then it's fine because it's not a complete image. Yes? Heads of his parents.
Yeah.
While they were still alive or after they passed away? Okay. No. Because according to this heter, the only isser is a full image, a full body image. Right.
And so you could make a...
According to this, it's not a problem. You can have them made. That's something, if, full head images, life-size images of your in-laws on your mantelpiece for all eternity. That sounds like a wonderful... then you might be happy to chop the nose off. Okay, fine. I don't think we're going to go in that direction, Itamar. Okay, fine. So the Shach brings this down in principle. Yes, people are maker like this. Yes, sir?
It just says here, including
motorists, okay? Well, Tzvilas HaDerech is probably a better bet, I would say. Okay, fine. The Shach brings the Heter. But then he says, there are those that are not so keen, and he gives you a bracha to be machmir. He says in number 28, HaMachmir b'chol zeh tavo alav bracha, and therefore not everybody is as happy about this, to just have a part of a body. But some people have it, and that is a Heter in and of itself. You need to ask a Shaila. Some people say it needs to be half the body missing, not just a finger. Who's even going to notice if a finger is missing? And other people say, no, the problem's just a head even. You have to chop the nose off. There are different opinions on that. The third Heter is dolls. Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva, which I didn't bring you in full, about dolls. And he says, look, the whole problem we saw from the Mishnah was things which are honored, things which people look up to. A doll which is schlepped around the house by a kid is not going to be a problem of this, because the problem is things which are choshev in that sense, which are mechubad, and therefore he brings down, he says he recommends not buying dolls for your children in full form. He says he recommends, it's how you're okay, you can then take a little bit off them if you want, but if you don't do that, it's fine. Since they're dragged around the floor, the heter applies. Now that wouldn't apply to my student's beautiful china dolls on the shelf. Her heter would have to be heter number one, which is from the Chochmas Adam, which is these days, since most people don't worship this kind of thing anymore, so the problem is rabbinic of having them of chashad, there's no chashad anymore. Fine, but even with dolls, some people are not happy, and if you're a manufacturer, it's worse. Because then you're manufacturing them, which is actually not the rabbinic, but the Torah prohibition. So that's already a little bit more sketchy. Rav Vadia says, what if you have a business manufacturing dolls for children? He's not happy about it. But he says maybe that's okay too. That's the third heter. The fourth heter we saw that the Ramah brought from Rabban Gamliel. Remember, one of the things they said about Rabban Gamliel is because he was public, there's no chashad. So maybe anything in a public place is okay. Maybe anything like a mannequin in a dress shop. Is there chashad? This is not a private home. This is not a piece of art. This is a mannequin in a dress shop, and therefore maybe that is a heter as well. The Achronim are not happy about relying on that Rabbim heter as much as the other heterim. And when you see, if you go to Mesh Arim, you'll see all the mannequins have had their noses chopped off. And I saw that originally, I thought they picked up a job lot which was like damaged, and they got it for cheap. But no, actually they've cut the noses off, and you can see that, you know, that is, they cut their nose off in order to fulfill the halacha. Yes, not to spite their face. Okay, good. So your featureless face. How featureless does it have to be so that it's no longer a person? You know, like when you walk down Manila and you see those statues of people that barely look like people. They're just like bits of twisted metal. And they say, you know, mother and child, you know. Okay. Right, exactly. The more modern the art, the more abstract the art, the more mutter it'll be. Okay, so abstract contemporary art is going to be easier. The best heter of all, though, up top of page number 7, is to not have human beings at all. To just have animals. Everybody agrees that horses, dogs, cats, animals, even in 3D, is absolutely fine. Yes, sir?
What about fire? In other words,
what about what, sorry?
Fire?
Fire,
yeah. A lot of people say Lagboma has become
something. Oh, yeah, the Lagboma is turned into another.
Dancing around the fire.
Okay, the people dancing around the fire are not worshipping the fire, and they're not worshipping Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Let's not get onto Lagba Omer now. We'll get onto Lagba Omer near Lagba Omer, okay? But non-human models are fine. However, the gentleman over there asked about shuls. I brought you a whole discussion in the footnote here about having even images of animals in synagogues. And there was a major machlokas in the Rishonim, where one authority, Rabbeinu Ephraim, argues that they are distracting, but they are but they're mutter. Whereas Rabbeinu Eliakim said that they're osa, and he had all the lions removed from the shul in Cologne. Apparently there was a shul in Cologne in the Middle Ages that had lion pictures on it. They had them all taken down. And there's a whole discussion as to which way the Shulchan Aruch paskens, because in one place he says you can, and in one place he says you can't. And I brought you that in the note. However, the rest of the shiur, just for the last 5 minutes, we just need to do with the issue of two dimensions. So we said there's no problem, right? You can paint people. That's the Shulchan Aruch psak. However, the Taz brings down the Shita of the Ramban. And the Taz says, I don't understand. Why is the Shulchan Aruch ignored the Shita of the Ramban? The Ramban, let's look together at number 29, says the Taz, Mashma kol atzuros asuros de la'el mutal asos in kishahem shokaim. It's clear that as long as it's not boleted, as long as it's not 3D, you can do any of these things. Aval b'tur, the Tur brings down, he says, Hei v'achakach b'shem ha-Ramban, shekasev b'chol masha asa min ha-Torah, all of these things which are asa, and then he does list them off. Go to the third line. They're also to make what? Kedmus she'ani mareh atzmi l'neviim. You're also to make them in the way that people see them. People don't see in 3D, they see in 2D. Now, do they see in 2D or do they see? We compensate in our minds to create an image that looks 3D. It says, but the image of these things that the Neviim had was not necessarily a 3D image. And he says, therefore, the Ramban paskens that even in two dimensions, it's still prohibited to have paintings. And one of the most famous cases that came up, I brought you the painting here, the Chacham Tzvi, when he was on the run from Amsterdam. The Chacham Tzvi was a fascinating individual, and he had a lot of trouble with his community. He was very vociferous, and he didn't hold back about criticizing. He made a lot of enemies. He went on the run from Amsterdam, and he came to London. And they received him with great pomp and circumstance at the Bevis Marx Synagogue in London, the S&P, the Spanish Portuguese. And if you look here, it says his son, Rav Yaakov Emden, who is just as controversial as his father, says, the true saint, my father and Rebbe, was greeted with great respect and the like of which was unheard of. He was escorted into the town in a royal flotilla amongst great jubilation. This is in the 1600s, late 1600s. The Kehillah, relying on the majority of poskim I've written here, had commissioned an artist to draw his portrait. The Chacham Tzvi quotes, due to his great saintliness and holiness, refused to permit it. The hosts were unable to restrain themselves, and the artist managed with great speed and unusual talent to paint the extraordinary painting. So true was his rendition that Rabbi Yaakov Emden declared, quotes, all that is missing is the breath of life, unquotes. And that's the painting. It's, you know, come up on the copy, it doesn't look so great, but you can see the original. The original is in London. And at the bottom of the painting, it actually, there's a little thing that says there, a bar that says this was painted without the knowledge of the Chacham Tzvi. They had a sketch artist there that sketched his face and then later went back and grew. And this is one of the first portraits that we have of any Gedolei Hador. And this became important because his great-grandchildren became the first chief rabbis of England. Rav Herschel, what was his name? Rav Shlomo Herschel, and the whole line were originally descended from the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Yaakov Emden, until that line ran out and they chose the Adlers, Rav Nachum Marcus Adler and Hermann Adler, and then they went into to other places in the 20th century. So 2D, people were not happy about, but most people paskin like the Shulchan Aruch that it's fine. What about photography? So according to most paskin, photography is even better than 2D. Because there is absolutely nothing protruding from the page. There isn't even a layer of ink which is tangible in any way whatsoever. Therefore, most poskim are paskin that the photography is fine. In the early days of photography, There were people that didn't like having their photograph taken, maybe for Kabbalistic reasons. And the Ben Ish Chai brings down that there were people who didn't like having their photos taken. The Ben Ish Chai is at the end of the 1800s. The first photograph was taken in the 1830s. So it's quite old photography. But he says, the bottom line, la halacha, it's mutter, especially if it's not your whole body. If it's just a headshot, that's fine. Because even with a sculpture, a headshot may be okay. Certainly with a photograph, he's okay with it. But he says there are people who were concerned. The Stiplagon had a picture. Someone drew a picture of him in the early days when he was in the army in Russia. And he paid a vast amount of money, his little rations for what he had anyway, relative to what he had, to get the picture back and destroy it. He wouldn't have a picture taken. But now there aren't very many people who are magpied on that. Photography in principle is fine. The last thing I put here is the sun and the moon. What's with the sun and the moon? All the way through the sun and the moon were more machmir. You can't even paint them in 2D. So the halacha is passing in Shulchan Aruch that you can't paint the sun and you can't paint the moon. Some poskim even prohibit making cookies in the shape of the moon. This is not just a crazy thing, this is a real thing. Many people say you can't have the sun and the moon on stained glass windows in shul, for many reasons, not just because of this, also Chukat HaGoy. And many poskim say that you can't even take photos of the sun or the moon either. So what are the heterim? People do this all the time. What are the heterim? So one heter, if you're just on the last page, I brought you three, I'll just mention them. One heter is, the Ramos says that it doesn't mean the sun and the moon as they look to you and me. It means the way that the sun and the moon were depicted in the ancient world. Helios on his chariot. Sol Invictus. Yeah, the goddess of the moon. Diana, but not the sun and the moon. So if that's the case, then it's fine. But the Vilna Gaon didn't like that, the Shach didn't like that, this is a heter that doesn't seem to fit well with the Gemara, so most people don't rely on that. There is a heter to paint, what about partial painting? And that's what they usually tell people. Don't paint the sun, paint part of the sun. So people do that. But part of the moon is not very helpful because we often see part of the moon. So that is the moon. So that won't help you with the moon. Rav Moshe has a wonderful tshuva about children's paintings. In Gan, they paint the sun and the moon. And he said, that's mutter. Why? Because they don't look anything like the sun and the moon. Yeah, they just look like kids scrawling on it. He says, but it's not a good idea. Because if you train them to paint these things, then as they get better, they'll get to an age where they really are painting something that looks like the sun and the moon. And that'll be awesome. Which is interesting. The last heter is for educational purposes. If you're studying astronomy, we saw with Rabbi Gamliel, even 3D images. We'll put mamutza for that. So some people bring that down. You want to teach people the solar system. You want to teach people Yosef and the 11 stars, bowing down to him, so you're allowed to draw them for educational purposes. But this is more of a real shaila than you might think. This is not just an extreme psak of some very strange, extreme poskim. This is a real mainstream question of what is exactly is the heter for taking a photo of the sun, of the sunset. The only heter seems to be the Ramah, which is that it wasn't really talking about the sun, it was talking about Helios. But it's not such a straightforward heter. So I'm not passing in because I'm not a posek, but next time you think of doing, you're going to do some great sunset shots, which are not for educational purposes, just for art, then maybe ask a shayla and see what the answer is and see what you get told. Okay, next week, Tanis Esther, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will go on from there. We will leave art behind us, but hopefully you found that of interest.